Before I do anything, I want to thank you this morning, this congregation, and all of you that have been involved in our lives. You have been life-changing to us. And as a pastor, when I grew up in the training that I had, the faith movement did not have a great name. I'm sorry to tell you, but people had done bad things that they shouldn't have done. And of course, that was exploited over the newspapers all over the country. And so I was taught to avoid the two-way out faith. I was also taught, don't get involved in spiritual warfare. Would you believe that? But this is what this is what came. And so I came here to church to speak. And I went home saying, I have seen a true faith. A true faith that we should have. And there's probably churches like this all over the place. And so I began changing my attitude and my things. As I went along, I spoke here more often. Every time I spoke, I felt like I gave a good message and I received twice as much and went back home. I grew some more. And I just want to thank you from the bottom of my heart, because you offered a course that you've offered again this year that I took, and it connected many, many dots that needed to be connected. Scriptures that I was using preaching took on a more in-depth meaning, a more personal meaning, a more faith meaning than they had before. And so I want you to know that. And it was a long course. And I grew, kept growing. So I want to give thanks for that. And right from the bottom of my heart, I do feel this is my extended family. One part of it for sure, and a very, very important part of it. So I want you to know that. I want you to go home being encouraged and strengthened. And that's what I'm hoping to do today with this message. Like you, many of you, this has been a year of growth in the Lord in the midst of spiritual warfare. I'm sure you've all experienced that. I haven't met any Christian that hasn't, on any level of Christianity, has gone through spiritual warfare. Yep. When I pastored Agape New Testament Fellowship from the beginning, being initiated, and then for 38 years, and God blessed tremendously. And I began to appreciate the name that we gave the church more and more and more, because agape, I really saw, and I really formed the definition of it. We can't stop him from loving us. We cannot stop God from loving us. And nothing can stop God from loving us. That's agape. And this is how he wants us to be to each other and how he wants us to be to others. Others that are in our daily lives and we meet in the grocery store, wherever. I get through life with Jesus and humor, so I'm cracking jokes. You'll hear some this morning. In a grocery store, you know how somebody cuts in front of you? You're going down the center aisle and somebody comes zooming out. Ha, they go. I say to them, listen, you can't be in my way. And they say, why? I says, I don't know where I'm going. Oh, I don't know where I'm going either, they say. And we laugh, and the place is filled with laughter and joy. So anyhow, that's me. When I left the pastorate, I wanted to become a chaplain. And I didn't realize how things had changed. But they have all kinds of requirements now. You're supposed to have this special schooling, that special schooling, this thing, that thing. Not to mention the fact of my age. You know, they got quite a way of getting around that. When did you graduate from high school? 1962, click. That's the end of that conversation. So for 2 years, I tried to find a job as a chaplain, and it didn't happen. The reason it didn't happen is because there was one thing that needed to happen in my life first, and that was to take that course. And it was when we were coming to the conclusion of that course, I was out interviewing again, and I answered a call that I thought was really where God wanted me. I even accepted it. I came home. I talked to Ursina, and we realized I was in denial on something. I was struggling with balance, and she said, "So you're going to help the guy into the shower and fall down with him?" I said, "No, I don't think that's right." I called up. I said, "I'm sorry. I've been in denial. I don't want to hurt any of your people. Please excuse me. I'm sorry." They said, "We are so thankful that you were honest with us." Well, thank Ursina Farnholz for that. But anyhow, the next day, I went to what I thought was a job fair. And I thought, well, I'll fulfill my requirements, and down the road, there's a pastor's meeting I'd like to go to just a few minutes away. So I'll stop there a half hour before the meeting starts down there, and then I'll go down there. So I stopped. It was a Tria senior living in Bethlehem and by Shanerville Road, by the hospital there. And it wasn't because there was only one group there, and that was a Tria itself. And they glanced at my resume and saw that I had been active in activities at another place. And they said, come here and work in activities? And I says, yeah. Would you lead bingo? Because that's the most important thing that goes on at these places, in case you don't know. They pack it out. They have to come a half hour early to get a seat. And that's the truth. And of course, it's not money. There are prizes that are given and stuff, but it's the fun of it. So anyhow, I said, yes, oh yes, I like to do that. And they asked me about exercise. Yep, I like to do that. Okay, good. So that's it. And right out of my mouth came, but you need a chaplain. Now that did not come from me. I hadn't thought about it in months, but that was God. You need a chaplain. Well, why do we need a chaplain? Because the last place I was work at, I had to do it undercover. I told them the things I had to do to try to help the residents and their families spiritually. Well, he went away. Next person came in. Why do we need a chaplain? So I went through all the same stuff again. They left. Then what happened? The head person came in. May I see your resume? Yeah, good old fashioned, here it is. She read it 10 minutes, 10 minutes about she spent on it. And then she looked at me and said, will you work in activities? And I said, yes. And she says, but if you're not a chaplain, you won't be happy. I said, well, that's probably true, because my resume, you know how lopsided that was. You know, 95% spiritual and 5% in activity. So anyhow, she says, if you work in activities, I will say we need a chaplain, and I will recommend you. And that's what happened. That was a door God opened himself, and I've been working there. As chaplain, I've led weekly Bible studies and began monthly non-denominational worship services with communion because the residents asked for it. Wow. And I went to the upline and said, they're asking for this. I'd like to do this. And they said yes. Had lots of opportunities already in the short time that I've been there of praying with people, talking with people in the hallways, and visiting them in their rooms. And just trying to strengthen and encourage them. Those are my giftings that I have from the Lord. And I started there by saying it came right out of my mouth again. That was very important in our relationship. I said, I am going to help you and you need to help me. And that changed the whole relationship with them from the beginning. In fact, they thought, they didn't give me a badge in a meeting. You know, they were sending away and getting it. So they thought I was living there. And they accused me of being undercover after I got a badge. But anyhow, it's been a good experience. And of course, through it all, just like all you have been experiencing, the residents, as soon as they wanted all this stuff, ran into stuff that kind of kept them away from the meetings and the things, you know. First meeting was fantastic, and attendance went down from that time on. Not that everybody there said, oh, man, this I don't want this. No, this was really good. This was really great. Okay, we'll send you to a doctor's appointment. We'll do this. We'll do that. Well, you know, these things kept coming up. And we went through spiritual warfare ourselves at a level that we had never gone through. But the good has been that we have experienced the Lord solving each situation, and we have grown in our walk with Him. God has fulfilled His promises that nothing can separate us from His agape love, and He will always be with us wherever we are. Those are two things that are so solidified in me as a result of this last year or so. Recently, I had the opportunity of conducting the service of marriage for a grandchild. This is the second one, and there's another member of the family that I had done a service for, Ursina's son. And the Bible study before that, I set a new record. Nobody came. Nobody came to it. Okay, so now I'm off to the wedding. And I'm going to be gone 4 days. Not going to be any service at the end. Now, people wonder why. Well, because I gave it weeks ago, because I knew it would be away that time. But again, of course, they would try to use that to cause confusion and stuff. But the interesting thing is, God arranged it so that we had to go down on Thursday. The wedding was Sunday. But our ride down there with my daughter was Thursday. And the reason it was Thursday is they had so much to do when I got down there. Because it was in a park, and a very beautiful pavilion, but nothing in it. You had to rent chairs. You had to do everything. That was your responsibility there. So they went down that early. And my joke about it is, we got there Thursday night, fell into bed. Friday morning, Ursina and I introduced ourselves to each other. The same kind of thing you're talking about needing a break. We needed to reintroduce ourselves to each other and just spend time together in a day and a half, we did. And God did amazing things in that. Yep. God also did miracles there. He did miracles there. On Saturday night, which was the rehearsal time, after the rehearsal, we had a rehearsal dinner, and we're sitting there, and then Cedar and I are sitting there, and she's says, can we change seats? No, okay, so we changed seats. That put me next to a young man who talked to me right off the bat when I introduced myself, saying that he had been through discipleship training, and he was a disciple of Jesus Christ. Was I a disciple of Jesus Christ? Yes, I was. We talked. Then, did you ever write a book? Yeah, I wrote a book. Now he's got a cell phone out. He's working. I want to find this book. And he says, I can't find it. I thought, oh, God, is it out of print now? Has it been that long? I said, God, where's that book? Well, found out he spelt my name wrong. So we got my name right. There it showed up. That was it. I didn't think anymore. Well, he knows where it is. No, he ordered two books while we're sitting there at dinner. Then he says, would you please pray a blessing on me and my wife? We want to serve the Lord, and we're getting married next week. So I'm there giving a blessing on them while the other people are chewing down their salads, and I'm falling behind. But it was just God's divine appointment. The next morning, my daughter had arranged for coffee and donuts for the members of our family that had come in from far away like we had. Okay? So I go down there. There's one table sitting there with a couple at it. Everybody else is standing up and around. And we go over. And it's the couple that we had had quite a negative relationship with at the church. For an hour, we chit-chatted, talked about our families, talked about the Lord, had a wonderful time, like nothing had ever happened to us. I came out of there. I said, God, what is this? He said, I've healed both of you. I've healed both of you from a wounded spirit. And it's like it never happened. So I wanted to share some of these things because it just, you know, God has been so good to us. I'm going to give just a couple points, and then I'm going to go into a different segment of my message, but it's tied in with this. You know everything I'm going to say to you, but I'm going to say it to you because of the time we're living in. This is what God has been pushing in my life, and I've found wherever I have shared it, it's resonated with people. So I'm going to share it here. All six pages condensed down into whatever God has. I will spare you. But one of the things I've learned is we cannot depend upon ourselves to resolve each situation that arises. We can't do it. No matter how we think we can do it, we can't do it. I don't care how small it is, we can't do it. We need God's help. We must ask for and depend upon the leading, the knowledge, the insight, the understanding, and wisdom of our counselor, the Holy Spirit. That's what we need to do on everything, big or small. We need to go through our day. Okay, now it's time for this. God, help me with this. Time for this. Lord, I need your help with this. Lord, I'm listening to you when I go into this. That's how the day needs to go today. Because we need his insight, knowledge, and understanding before we do anything. Before we respond to somebody, before we do anything. Okay? I've also learned to start the day. Lord, do you have anything to say to me today? This is the recent way I've started. Even before I worship him, before I do anything, I sit down at the table. God, do you have anything to say to me? And I sit and listen. Now, the Bible calls it waiting upon the Lord. Well, the waiting upon the Lord didn't connect that much with listening. Just waiting to see him move. Well, maybe I should listen to what he wants me to do so he can move. That's what I've learned. So that's what I do. I'm there with my pad and paper. And I write down anything he says. He does everything from reminding me of appointments I have to something I need to do today that I totally forgot about, where my keys are, where my wallet is, whatever, you know. He fills in all that important stuff. Yep, he does. Yes. And then I worship him and thank him and continue with my spiritual part of the morning. I listen to him throughout the day. I've learned that listening is a major thing that he expects from us and wants from us. We also need to follow the example Jesus has given us to pray, act, and speak when God tells us to. When God tells us to. I will hit this a couple times probably this morning. God's timing is just as important as what he's told us to do and what he's told us to say. When was what Jesus followed? He went by some people and didn't reach out and heal him. He went to other people and did. He did things at strange times when you look at it. And then when you can see the results, you can say, yeah, that was the perfect time. So that's an important way in being a disciple and following him. I've learned to be expecting to experience small miracles, if there is such a thing, throughout the day. Things that God would do for me in Ursina that wouldn't mean anything to you. And he'll do it to you that doesn't mean anything to me, because he is a personal God. He wants relationship. Relationship, relationship, relationship. That's why he began, after we asked Jesus to come into our heart to be our Lord and Savior, pouring out his agape love. He was pouring it out before, but now we recognized it. Now we saw it. And he was also given us the ability to choose. Yes. The ability to choose. I can't force anybody to love me, and neither can God. But he can give that opportunity. He can love us. And he can wine and dine us, so to speak. He can do everything to draw us to him through the Holy Spirit. But we need to say yes. We need to humble ourselves and receive that. Yeah. Well, when that happens, he begins to bless. Really begins to bless. And he does supernatural things in our lives. I'm going to give you a couple examples. That's it. I could go all the rest of the morning on this, but I won't. I'll behave. But you ever lose something, can't find something, and finally, after struggling, God, where is it? Yeah. Anybody do that? Yeah. Well, I began doing that. Thank goodness I started turning to God, where is it? And I would go in the bedroom, which I had been in the bedroom 5 times already, looked at the bed, there was nothing on the bed whatsoever. Stuff was all over the place. And I go in there, there's my cell phone right in the middle of the bed. That I'm looking for. Now that's supernatural. That's not natural. That's a supernatural act that God did to help me that day. And you can name lots of others. You can name lots of others as you look over your life. Yep. When I asked the Lord, what should I teach at these worship services at Atria? He directed me to present a series of teachings on the fruit of the Spirit. And so that's what I started to do. And as soon as I started to do that, he gave me fresh revelation about the fruit of the Spirit, things that I hadn't thought about. One of them was that there is a specific order to the spirit of the fruit of the Spirit, a specific order that is listed there. We need to grow in the one so that we can enter into receiving the next and growing in that, and then both of them so we can receive the next and grow in that, which I had not thought about it that way. But that's exactly the way it is. And it's absolutely necessary. And so I want to touch on that this morning. As I've already mentioned, when we've received the Lord, we become aware of his love for us. And we begin a love relationship in, a love walk with him. And my verse on that is, trust in the Lord with all your heart, lean not on your own understanding, in all your ways acknowledge him. And then Dave has added to it. Because it says, and he will direct your paths. God wants me going in this way. And Dave has added, and he will direct my feet on those paths and keep them on those paths. Because I can have a direction. So God keeps us right on that path if we listen to him and talk to him. He'll pull us back, rescue us, all kinds of stuff. Well, anyhow, as we're flowing in that love walk with him, I asked the Lord a question recently, not too long ago. Because it said that Jesus had great joy in facing the cross. Great joy in facing the cross. How could he have great joy in facing what he had to go through? Well, what was the basis of this joy in Jesus as he faced suffering and death on the cross? I believe it was his perfect faith, believing in the promises of God, the Father, to him after dying a physical death. That's what it was. And he expressed this when they asked him, are you the Christ? They asked him. He could have said yes. He could have said lots of things. Instead, he showed the evidence of why he had that joy. He said to them, you will see me at the right hand of the Father. And you will see me coming in the clouds. That was where he put his faith, where he put his focus, where he put everything as he was going through this. And today, you know where we need to put our faith and belief. We will be with him for all eternity in his presence. And we'll be in a place where there is no more suffering, pain, evil. Can you imagine that? A place without evil. Woo! Does that excite you? Excites me. Yes. Yes. That's right. So, how can we mortals experience the growing of joy in the Lord? We can't do it on our own, just like anything else. We can't do it on our own. But we have the Holy Spirit within us. We begin fixing our eyes on Jesus Christ and meditating on the promises of God concerning our eternal life with him. As we read these verses over and over and say them out loud, they go in from our mind, which is the battlefield. They go from our mind into our heart. Yes. They go from our mind into our heart. And they become a part of our belief system. God changes our belief system as we grow with him. And as he gives us revelation, as we begin to understand what he's saying to us. Now, yes, so we meditate on what Jesus has done for us. We begin to recognize the fulfillment of some of God's promises in our lives and his constant loving presence with us. We become more and more thankful and begin forming a heart of gratitude. 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 We serve him. We carry out trying to share truth with others. We do this in a heart of gratitude, not there on our way to heaven. We can earn our way to heaven. It's a gift. It's a gift. It's God's grace to us. Jesus has done everything. But we can have a heart of gratitude. And that's why we serve him. And that's why we believe in him. And that's why we ask him to help use us today. Because we want to glorify him. We lose the fear of dying, which mankind is enslaved to. And we are delivered from that with the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Faith rises up in us and we begin to look forward to eternal life with God. Yes. Well, that's enough on that. Now, we've talked about love. We've talked about joy rising up in us. Now let's talk about peace. Well, you're not going to have any peace unless the agape love is flowing in you in a walk with the Lord and His joy. We have the joy of the Lord, which is what? Our strength. The joy of the Lord is our strength. We have that. Now, we're ready to receive His peace that transforms understanding. Nobody can understand the peace that a Christian has as they go through different situations and things. No one can understand that except those that know the Lord. They can understand it because they're experiencing it. Yep. One of my favorite verses, I'm going to read it. All the other verses I have printed here, I have that one too. But this is so special to me that I want to read it. Philippians chapter 4, starting with verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Then it goes on to say what to think about. Whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Right here is the instructions on how to receive peace. That peace of the Lord that is different than any other peace we could think about because it's way different. Just like joy is so much deeper than happiness. His peace is deeper than any other kind of peace we can have. When I first read this, and God purposely took me there and wouldn't let me away from it for a while, I said, God, you got to be kidding. You got to be, no, you got to be kidding, God. Well, he wasn't. And he began to give me understanding about it. Yeah. But I was anxious, and I did worry about things. And I had been trained as an engineer. Prepare, prepare, prepare. My wife says, why are you always thinking negative, she used to say. I say, well, I'm preparing for the worst. That's what we were taught. Prepare that that bridge does not fall down, no matter what. Prepare that nobody gets a shock out of that wall. Fix it so they can't. The worst can't happen. Well, anyhow, that was a training. But the instruction is, do not be anxious or worry about anything. The verse that has helped me with that, and it's been one of my second favorite verses, is 2 Timothy 1:7. For God does not give us a spirit of fear, but a spirit of power, love, and a sound mind. It was a while before I understood the order of that verse. Again, every verse of Scripture has an order, I'm finding out. And he didn't say love first, he said power. Hallelujah. Power. Power over the enemy. Jesus and the Holy Spirit. Jesus, the name that's above every name. Amen. The Holy Spirit empowering us the same as he raised Jesus from the dead. Those things, you've got God, the Holy Spirit, inside you. Amen. You ever say, oh, I got the Holy Spirit inside me. Did you ever say, I got God, the Holy Spirit inside me? Because that's who's there. And I keep telling myself, and I may have to tell myself 10 times during the day, but I will do it because I know it's true. And I know it changes things. Yep. So, first thing is don't be anxious. Second thing is thank God for what he's already done in your life. Be thankful. And when you see the miracles go on each day, thank him, thank him, thank him. Amen. And you form a thank you list. You are thanking God for the most recent things he's done, not something he did 10 years ago, not the big thing that he did 10 years ago. You're thanking him for things he did yesterday, day before, certainly in the past week. If you limit it to 10 things, that you have on your thank you list, you will be thanking him very recent things because he's doing those things. Yep. Present your request to God with thanksgiving. Then you need to receive the peace. Receive the peace. Believe that he is giving you his peace. He's promised it. He says, we do this, he will give it to us. So we begin to have peace about that situation. And then after we've had peace about many situations, we have peace, period, when the stuff comes. Even if it may not be the first thing that comes to our mind, it should be the second. It's like Billy Graham said about, if you look at a woman with lust, you've committed adultery already in her heart. So somebody said to him, Billy, how can we do this? He said, well, you may not be able to avoid the first look, but you're responsible for the second look. And that's the way it is with peace. And that's the way it is with these different things that we're talking about. Okay, so you receive the peace, guarding your heart in Christ Jesus. Do not let Satan steal your joy or peace. Do let not. You will have a beautiful day, and he'll do one zinger in there to try to get you think about before you go to bed, or just wreck the day any way he can by getting you to think and focus on that. Focus on the things God has done. That's what I'm learning to do. Focus on the things God's done. Yeah. Yeah. That's nothing. That's not going to last. That's over. Eternity with God lasts forever. I don't think about those things. And he's showing me. He's keeping his promises. He's trustworthy. You know, there's faith. And then there's trust that comes after faith. Trust is a walk as well as faith being a walk. Well, this is the last one. I'll be very quick on it, but it's one that I've struggled with. I'll bet you have too. It's patience. Yeah. Patience. Oh, man, I want to get going. I know how to do this. We can do this. Okay, God, boom, here we go. I the joke I tell about that is I'm like a, I've been like a, I've been because I'm getting better, but I've been like a, since this is football season, I've been like a running back who goes in and he hears his play is going to be called. Oh boy, I'm ready. He leaves the huddle without knowing what it's going to be called on. So he can't fulfill what he's supposed to fulfill because he doesn't know when the quarterback says, it's time to go. That's Dave in the past. Yep. I've been trying to slow down and listen more to the Lord and to others as they talk to me. So, we learn to, in this growth, in the fruit of the Spirit, we learn to express love to others. We learn to have the joy of the Lord. And every day I say, Lord, this is a day you have made. I will rejoice and be glad in it, right? How little were we when we heard that? Applicable to today, isn't it? And I tell the people that at a tree, and I said, I may have to say it several times a day. I may have to stop in the middle of the day and say it again so that I pull myself back to it. Okay? But he will give us patience. And we need to wait for his understanding, insight, knowledge, and wisdom before acting, before opening our mouths, before doing things. He will show us why somebody criticized us or said a negative thing. It may not have had anything to do with us at all. Maybe they're having a terrible day. Or it may be, Dave, you need to change something. You need to admit, okay? But he will show us before we speak and before we act, if we let him. And we will know when to say it. When to say it. When us and this other couple were sitting and talking to each other, the worst thing we could have done was, well, I'm sorry for what I did back then. Remember, it was terrible. Blah, 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 blah. Or, wow, what you did to me. I've been a long time since trying to get over it. No. Hi, brother. Hi, sister. Let's talk. Oh, man. It's so good to see you. We hugged each other. That's what needed to be at that time. Totally different than the way man would try to solve it. Yes. Because God had worked in our hearts. Well, Lord, I pray that whatever I've shared this morning has encouraged and strengthened and helped. I pray, Father God, if there's anyone here that needs prayer, that would like prayer for something, that they will come up and you will lead in the prayers for them. I pray, Father God, that anything that didn't glorify you today will be taken away and gone. And all that we remember and all that will come from this service this morning is you being glorified. You being glorified, and help us to grow in you. We thank you, Father. And I ask you, bless this church. Continue blessing them and helping others like you helped Ursina and I through this church. And we pray, Father God, that they will stand strong, and they will be a light, and they will be salt, and they will be making a difference every day in people's lives, here and in the world missions that they support. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you so much. It's been a joy and a pleasure.